Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. My name is Nathan Leal, and today Donna's going to be sitting out because she has some other things going on. So today I have a lot of things I want to talk about. Now, if you've been a regular listener to this program, you know that I try my best to disclose the facts. Without the truth, we have nothing. That means that we must be willing to always want to hear the truth. We must desire to hear the truth no matter where it takes us. Truth must always be sought by God's people. The opposite of truth is trickery, deceit, being taken for a ride, getting ripped off. When we look into the scriptures and we read the references to the end times, we can read over and over and over that truth and the battle against the truth would be one of the things taking place in the invisible realm as well as the physical realm. And right now we're in the time of sorrows, as Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24. We're experiencing, in the news cycle, wars and rumors of war. And you see, folks, there is no way to spin the narrative that Bible prophecy has somehow been placed on hold, that there's a reprieve, that everything has stopped, because it hasn't. Now, folks, this is very, very important to grasp. We need to hold on to this. The Bible tells us that there would be a segment of the population deceived in the end times. Deception would rule. It says in Daniel chapter 8 that the Antichrist would cause craft and deception and trickery to prosper. He would use the promise of peace to destroy many. Now, what does that mean? That means that this guy would have the power to make treaties, to meet at the table with other dignitaries and ambassadors and world leaders. It means that he will wear the hat of a peace negotiator. And by doing so, he's going to make deals that are going to deceive a lot of people. I did a report a few days ago about the fake news and trying to make sense of all the events that are taking place in the world. I had a lot of information in there, and we're going to cover some of that in this program. But after I sent it out, I got emails from individuals who said, Nathan, you proposed, you threw out there that what if Donald Trump is the man of sin? What if he's the guy that's doing the peace treaty before our eyes, and he's actually the guy in the Bible? You said that, Nathan, but there's no way that is possible because the Antichrist is going to be loved by everybody. Now, let's visit that for one moment. Ladies and gentlemen, where in the Bible does it say that the Antichrist, the villain, the little horn, is going to be loved by the entire world? Where does it say that? It doesn't. The attributes and the profile of the little horn, his personality profile, can be found in a lot of places in Scripture, but it is very concentrated in Daniel 7 and 8, as well as chapter 11. We can read about the personality of the villain in those three chapters. Now, there are some other places in Scripture where we can read a few things, but this is something else. Someone wrote and said, Nathan, the Antichrist, according to what you said, does not match up what we read in Revelation. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, Revelation does not talk about the personality profile of the Antichrist. It's not in there. What we do find in Revelation chapter 13 is a description of the beast, the end time beast, and the false prophet. But the beast is not the Antichrist. And I have shared this many, many times in my program. But for some reason, a lot of folks, whether they're a new listener or maybe they forgot, will write me and say, Nathan, the beast is the Antichrist. No, he's not. Daniel tells us that four beasts would rise up in the earth through history. And it even tells us one's Babylon, one's Persia. It mentions Greece, Alexander the Great. And then it says, and then there will be a beast to rise at the very end of time. And this one's going to be very powerful, unlike all the other ones. Teeth of iron. It's going to swallow up the whole world, devour the world, shatter the world, overtake the world. That's an empire, folks. Because if the three before it are mentioned and described in Daniel as empires and countries, then we can't add to the Bible and put something in there or say something that's not there. Because if we do, then we're going to be expecting something that will never happen. Folks, that's one of the biggest concerns that needs to be on your plate and on your table when you're studying the end times. It needs to be on every Christian's plate. It needs to be on your desk. It needs to be included in your notes. and in your Bible, which is, we need to be careful the way we study the end times. You see, it's real easy for a person, a human being, to write a book and to give their opinion on how things are going to take place. But if they don't match up scripture, then a lot of Christians are going to be thrown off and confused. And that's exactly where we are right now in these end times. There have been books written by Christians who were well-meaning. Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, and then we have Tim LaHaye in the Left Behind series, who wrote books. And in those books, they included some creative freedom that has deceived a lot of people. What are you talking about, Nathan? Hal Lindsey was right. Well, we only see in a glass darkly. And when Hal Lindsey wrote The Late Great Planet Earth, it was more than 30 years ago. And when Hal Lindsey looked at the beast having 10 horns, at that time, the European Union was in its infancy, and it was called the Common Market, and it only had 8 members at the time. And Hal Lindsey said, when we get to 10 members of the European Union or the Common Market, that's the 10-horned beast that's going to take over the world, and the Antichrist is going to come out of that. Well, since then, the world has evolved. We can look back now on his interpretation of the 10-horned beast and see that he was wrong, because Daniel tells us that the beast is going to break the earth into pieces. That means that this end-time empire will occupy the real estate of the entire planet. And the only way that can happen is if we revisit a different interpretation of what those 10 horns are. And I have, in my opinion, based on what we're watching in the world right now, and some areas are ahead of others, but economic regions and unions are the goal of the future world. That's what the North American Union was all about. And the Africa Union and the South American Union and the European Union, all of those unions, there's 10 of them, that's the goal. So when we look at Hal Lindsey's book and Tim LaHaye's book that interpreted the 10 horns as a regional isolated fulfillment to take place in Europe or the same area as Rome, he was wrong. This thing's worldwide. Now that's just one example of end-time interpretation that is throwing people off because it has people expecting something that will never happen. Sorry, Nathan, I disagree. Well, then that's fine. If you want to disagree, that's your right. But I just ask this, folks. When you're looking at Bible prophecy, if you happen to hear a different way of looking at a prophecy that is unlike what you are familiar with, examine it. Look at the scriptures. Look at the verses. Break the verses down. Look at the original verses in the Hebrew words or the Greek words. And if there's a possibility that it should be considered, then consider it and have two possibilities on the table. It doesn't hurt to have two possibilities on the table. Now, I'm getting sidetracked right now because I want to talk about the news cycle and a lot of the things that are taking place. But I just needed to establish that the truth is very, very important. And the truth includes interpreting Bible prophecy, because when we interpret it, the signs or the verses, we must be doing it truthfully. If someone interprets it wrong, then it's never going to happen. And folks are going to be looking for signs that will never happen, when in actuality, the signs that are happening before their eyes won't be noticed. That brings us back to President Trump. Now, folks, I propose that if we're in the end times, if we've been on this journey for a while, if you've been a Christian long enough, for the most part, the majority of you were on board with vigilance before Trump was elected. And you knew it was close. Any given day could have ignited the big one to thrust us into something major to fulfill prophecy. Like a major war, world war, nuclear war, the mark of the beast, advancements in technology and spying, the NSA spying scandal. Remember that? When Edward Snowden let it out of the bag, he was the whistleblower to tell us, hey, all of you guys are being spied on. You're being listened to, which is what we suspected, but then it was proven true. So if we are being vigilant on the end times, then that means that every person in the public eye right now in politics is involved in the end times. They have a role to play. Now, since the United States of America is the richest country in the world and the most powerful superpower empire in the whole planet, then logic would dictate that the involvement of the United States in world affairs is a part of prophecy as well, which means that the leaders, including the president, have a role to play in end-time Bible prophecy. That role involves a continual downhill slope. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to always look innocent. Sometimes it will. And I've noticed this with Donald Trump. He will do things to benefit the New World Order or the One World Government or the rich, elitist billionaires that he hangs out with. He will do some things to benefit them And then, after every third or fourth one, he will throw a bone to his base. He'll throw a bone with some kind of legislation that looks good, that looks like a fulfillment of a campaign promise. Seems to satisfy a lot of his base. Nathan, he appointed a conservative in the Supreme Court. Yes, he did. Neil, the Supreme Court justice who said that Roe versus Wade would never be turned over. He said that he wouldn't be able to do it. The person that Trump appointed to the Supreme Court stated abortion's not going to go away. But when Trump appointed him, the Christian base got all excited and they said, look, a conservative, yay, he accomplished what he said he's going to do. He's keeping his promises. But it didn't change anything. The wall still hasn't gone up. And if it does go up, Mexico's not paying for it. He said that over and over and over. Mexico's going to pay for it. But now Mexico's not paying for it and the base doesn't seem to be bothered by it. I don't understand.
Nathan, I like listening to you, but when you talk about Trump, it makes me mad. So I wish you would stop.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here just to appease those who voted for Trump. My job is not to bring to you information that appeases Donald Trump's ego. I'm not coming just to high-five Fox News and Lou Dobbs and Rush Limbaugh and say, yeah, we got a good guy in there. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because I'm watching. My eyes are open and I see what's going on. I see horrible corruption in the presidency right now. It also looks suspicious that insider trading has regularly been going on between Trump and his buddies. It's right there in front of us, folks. If Obama was participating in shenanigans, we would want to hear about it. When Bush did, we wanted to hear about it. Well, some of us. Some Republicans didn't want to hear it. They put their hands on their ears because Bush was a Republican. But folks, I come to you to bring you the truth, no matter where it leads. And sometimes it leads to places that are not comfortable. But if we are end-time remnant Christians, we need to know about them so that you are not being deceived. If one of the biggest problems in the end times that we read about in the Bible is that God's people would fall under deception, if it were even possible, the very elect of God would be deceived. What does that mean? Does that mean that therefore some of them were deceived? Or does it mean that the deception was so strong that even the core children of God, those who were close to him, those who had achieved their place with him in their relationship that was so strong and close to him, filled with the Spirit, full of the Word, even those people were tempted when they heard the deception and it almost deceived them. This is the bottom line. The Bible tells us. It means God's letting us know. Jesus is letting us know. He's saying, my children, my son, my daughter, be careful. Because there's going to be a great deception that's going to take some people. And folks, it's not just going to lead people to have the wrong opinion and then nothing else changes in their life. No. The Bible says it will lead them astray because it will also do some other things. It will cause the love toward God to grow cold. Jesus said that in Matthew 24, because sin will abound and lawlessness will abound because there's a lot of sin and lawlessness in the world in the end times. The love of many will get cold. Our first love, the love that comes from salvation, the love that was returned to him in prayer and worship, that love that was the anchor of the soul for so many people toward God, that love is prophesied to grow dim in people in the end times. And because the love would go away, then chaos would erupt, hatred would erupt, war would erupt, the breakup of families. When you have a family, a husband and wife, and the husband is in love with the Lord, with Jesus, with his Bible, with prayer. He tries to walk uprightly, but his wife doesn't care. His wife is not excited about God. She used to be, but for some reason, something got a hold of her. Things of the world became more shiny to her. They were more attractive to her. So they grew apart because the love toward God in her got weaker, and as a result, the love toward one another grew weak. That's one example. When we look at the lives of Americans, that's what we are watching as well. There's a lot of people that are in love with Donald Trump, but they're not in love with Jesus. Whoa, Nathan, hold on there. You better be careful about that one. Why? Why should I be careful about it, folks, when it's true? Right now in the United States of America, there are people that love Donald Trump more than they love Jesus. There are people who love Donald Trump more than they do their Bible. There are people who value the tweets of Donald Trump. They value those more than they value the Word of God. Now, there are others who understand very well what I'm saying is true. You know that this is true. You've witnessed it. You've seen it with your family and loved ones and friends, and you scratch your head and you can't believe how when the news report is right there, folks don't want to believe it. They resist, or they'll spin it and make an excuse. Just a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump was asked by a news reporter, hey, did you know anything about that money for Stormy Daniels, the hooker that claims she was paid off? He was in the airplane. He said, no, I don't know anything about that. And then there were on other occasions where Trump said, it didn't happen. She's a liar. She's just making it up. Why would I want to be with her? Look at her. You know, Trump knows how to spin it. But in his denial, he said it didn't happen. Now, it's come to the light. It's all true. There was a payoff. Cohen paid off Stormy. And then Trump reimbursed him. It has been disclosed in election financial statements. Turns out Donald was lying. When he looked into the camera and said, that's fake news. I don't even want to answer you. You're fake news. When he says the Washington Post is a bunch of liars, they're fake news, I'm not even going to answer that because it's not true. See, Trump's good at that. You call something fake long enough, people are going to believe it. And that's where we are, folks. We are watching lie after lie take place before our eyes. And now we have secular media, secular. You know those devil people that are liberal, the progressive media reporters, the journalists that most Christians can't stand? You know, the CNN folks, the MSNBC folks, and Huffington Post. You know, all those liberal progressives that are just up to no good. Well, those people are now saying, isn't it interesting that the church, the evangelicals, the Christians, have lost their testimony? Isn't it interesting that we are watching Christians who have touted morals to us and told us how to live are now picking and choosing those same rules to overlook in Donald Trump? Isn't that embarrassing? They're talking about it now, folks. The church has lost her testimony in America. Christians have lost their testimony in America. The evangelicals have spit on their testimony by overlooking and sidestepping things that in the past were taboo. Because if anyone else would have done the things that Donald Trump does, like who, Nathan? Your boss, your coworker, your brother-in-law, your sister, your husband, your wife, your kids, your teacher. If any of them did any of the type of sexual shenanigans and lying that Trump does, they would be disowned. They would be disbarred. They would be banned. They would be shunned in regular life. Because that's what we do. We try to make judgment calls on bad influences. At your job, at your work, when you have some philanderer at your job who embarrasses himself and no one trusts him, people know about it, right, folks? It's talked about. The others know, hey, look, so-and-so is at it again. Stay away from him. But when it comes to the president, it's okay. Why is it okay, though? That's my question. Why? Here's why it's okay, folks. Because when Trump does his craziness and his works of darkness and his works of the flesh, or it gets exposed, sure enough, the members of his support base, and very often they're preachers, Jerry Falwell Jr. or John Hagee or Kenneth Copeland or Lance Wellnow, you know, the Seven Mountain crowd, or Mark Taylor, are quick to say, don't resurrect the past. We didn't elect a pastor. It's all good. So just leave it alone. And let's just look at the good he's going to do for America. Let's overlook the cheating. Let's overlook the lying. Let's overlook the hatred, the bullying, the slander, the libel, all that stuff. And instead, let's concentrate on America's outcome, which would be great. That's where we are, folks. So how is that my fault for bringing it up? How is it my fault for reminding God's people that they shouldn't be thinking wrong? How is it my fault for reminding that all of us are accountable? And even if someone has a microphone and they're a watchman or has a radio show or a TV show or calls themselves an evangelist or a teacher or a prophet or whatever, how is it my fault for pointing out they're not doing their job? They're not warning God's people. They're looking the other way. That's not my fault, folks. I am pointing out the truth. There's an overload of information going on right now in the news cycle. An overload. It's confusing a lot of people. For the most part, the average member of the public, Joe Citizen, probably doesn't burden himself trying to understand the present news cycle. But the wise ones do. And that's the reason you're listening to this program. It's because you're wise. You understand what's going on. You want to make sense of it so that you can report it to your family members and explain it to those you care about, and so that you can make wise decisions for yourself. But when we look at the news cycle, there's so much, isn't there, folks? And because there's so much, a lot of people are tired. It's wearing people out. But I have proposed this, folks. It's being done on purpose. So in one respect, the news media is throwing out a lot of information about certain topics. And then in other respects, there's an eerie calm going on with some other events that are in development, like the Iran situation. We have two nations that the United States is dealing with, North Korea and Iran. A few weeks ago, it appeared that the United States was ready to go to war with North Korea and Iran the next day. But then we find out that the new Secretary of State, Pompeo, has met with Kim Jong, and they have arranged a summit to try to bring peace to the Korean Peninsula. And that's a good thing. On paper, it's a good thing. And right now, we're watching the development of it, so we can't really know what the outcome's going to be until that meeting takes place. That's going to happen on June the 12th in Singapore next month. So a few more weeks, we'll know. In addition, we also have the Iran situation. Trump tore up the Iran deal. Our allies in the EU are not happy about it because they were also a part of that treaty. We don't know what's going to come of it, but John Bolton has already made it clear that regime change is what the United States wants and desires from Iran. Regime change. As Jesus said, there would be wars and rumors of war. And in Trump's case, he's telling everybody he's going to bring peace. So there will be wars, rumors of war, and rumors of peace as well. Are they going to hold? If Trump can so easily tear up a treaty, then how concrete is a promise made by Trump? By the way, brings up another point. If the United States tears up a treaty and then explains why they did it, do they get bombed the next day? Is there a threat that they would be bombed the next day or destroyed, or the leader would be killed or deposed or sanctions would be given to us? And of course, the answer is no, because you see, folks, the United States operates in hypocrisy in the world. The United States can tear up treaties and agreements, but if another country does it, if another country were to tear up a treaty that we had with them and it was their choice, then there's a good chance that if the treaty had to do with preventing war or was one of the tokens of peace, then there's probably a chance that if the other country tore up a treaty, it would end up with us bombing them the next day or killing their leader. There would be some kind of punishment or punitive measures against that country who tore up a treaty. But when the United States does it, it's okay. Am I the only one that sees the hypocrisy in this, folks? Trump is going to meet with Kim Jong, so write it down, put it on your calendar, June 12th, unless it gets canceled. Now, in the last few days, Kim Jong threatened to cancel the summit because the United States began conducting their annual military exercises that we do annually with South Korea. The United States started doing war games again, and Kim Jong said, no, if you're going to do those war games, you're practicing to invade me, I'm pulling out of the summit. The United States has stated that they're going to tone down the war games and the maneuvers, and they're going to send the jets home and the bombers home, and it'll be contained. So, Mr. Kim Jong, please don't feel threatened. By the way, that's another thing. I noticed that Secretary of State Pompeo began referring to Kim Jong as Chairman Kim on the news a few days ago. Did you know that, folks? Mr. Kim Jong went from being the ruthless tyrant, the object of a lot of jokes, and he now evolved into a chairman. What is that all about? Is that a formality that the United States is using to feed his ego? Is that what it is, or is it something else? Because I didn't know that Kim Jong was a chairman. I thought he was a dictator. So write that down, folks. The 12th, next month, tentatively, the United States is going to meet with North Korea. We'll see what comes out of that. Now, did you notice that one of the negotiating measures that we asked for, the United States asked Mr. Kim Jong, to release three prisoners. Now, North Korea is holding on to a lot of political prisoners. The last count, I believe, there was a number like 80,000 political prisoners that are North Korean. But they also have incarcerated political prisoners from other countries, other citizens. So Pompeo got Kim Jong to release three American prisoners. And when they were released, it was the breaking news. I remember when it happened a few days ago. The three Americans have been released. Here's the video live. And they showed Trump coming out of his airplane. The three prisoners walked behind him. They walked down the steps to the tarmac, to the microphone. And Trump gave a short little speech of his success. And he said, these were three Americans. And I talked with them while they were on the plane the whole time. And now they're free. And he looked at them and they smiled. And then it turned out, because they weren't answering any questions, and they had an interpreter with them, some lady, turns out that these three quote-unquote American citizens do not speak English. and two of the prisoners were working as teachers in North Korean colleges. That doesn't make sense to me. They were Koreans who left and they came to the United States, became citizens, and then went back to teach at a communist college. See, I don't understand that. Of course, it might be true. Might. This could be all theater. After I put out my last report that was in print, I mentioned this, that I was suspicious of it, and I received a few emails from some of you that said you've wondered the same thing, but you were hindered from talking about it because there's an accusation of racism. You're a racist against Asians. How dare you? What's wrong with you? Don't question it. You see, folks, that's where we are. We're supposed to believe the narrative from the beast. The end time New World Order beast will give a narrative to the citizens, and we're expected to believe it and receive it and not ask questions. But unfortunately, there's a lot of holes in it, so I will ask questions, just like some of you are asking questions. Now, some of the other things going on. If Trump is able to foster peace in North Korea, will he do the same thing for Iran? Does he even want it? He appointed John Bolton as a security advisor, and that was done at the request of Robert Mercer, his puppet master. Robert Mercer is a billionaire. He's very wealthy. He's a very smart man, and he's the one who funded Cambridge Analytica, the Facebook profile program, to manipulate the election. Cambridge Analytica is a spinoff of the bigger company, Strategic Communications Laboratories, or the SEL Group, or SEL Data, or SEL Elections. It has a few names it goes by. Robert Mercer funded Trump's campaign and made it possible for him to get elected by using psychological manipulation techniques. He started a company, Cambridge Analytica, with the help of Steve Bannon, and the two of them infiltrated the internet, and they used tools that we have never seen before, not to this level here in America. Now, other countries have been victims of it, but it hadn't been used in America, not until this election cycle, and I'm pretty sure that this is going to start a new era. It's going to make it harder, very, very much harder. Why? Because these people are very smart, and they've been at it for over 100 years. Well, when you consider the help of Satan, it's a few thousand years. They have mapped the emotions of humans, and they've figured out how to manipulate, how to control, how to corral, how to engineer the beliefs of people. So getting back to Trump, if Trump is going to bring peace to North Korea, we'll see. Does he want the same thing with Iran? No, he doesn't. And the reason he doesn't is because John Bolton has been preaching for, this is almost 20 years now. John Bolton was one of the original signers of the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC document that was put out in the late 90s by Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, as well as other war hawk neocons. John Bolton was part of that crowd. And the PNAC document is a script for America's agenda for the new millennium. And in there, it says that we needed to deal with Iran, make them a puppet of America, get them on some loans with the World Bank and the IMF, make them one of the slaves of the world. John Bolton believes this stuff. Rudy Giuliani also believes it. They are both a part of the Free Iran organization. John Bolton wants regime change, as well as Rudy Giuliani, who is operating as Trump's White House attorney. And when Rex Tillerson was Secretary of State, he said the same thing, regime change. Did they think of all that just recently? No. This has been one of the plans of the United States for years. And now that Iraq was conquered, it's time for another victim. And that's where Iran comes in. They're next. And in the last program, I played a soundbite where John Bolton says that regime change is coming. And he told them he looks forward to assembling with them in Tehran by 2019 or before 2019. So they have let us know that 2019 is a target date. Now, whether that's in stone and official policy, I don't know, but they're saying it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this is coming, see, right now we're talking about it. We're wondering. We're speculating. Like Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of war. So we're wondering. It's a rumor. But based on the MO of the United States, of our foreign policy that has revealed itself to the world, usually the United States will talk about it, and then they do it. They talk about it over and over and write reports on it, and they get interviewed on TV about it and why it's important and necessary. And then they start building a coalition of allies to help them do it. And that's exactly what we're witnessing right now. The United States is building a coalition with Israel, Saudi Arabia, France, Great Britain, And this coalition is all on board to fight Iran. Now, some of our other allies in the EU do not want it to happen. They weren't even in agreement. They did not like that Trump tore up the treaty with Iran. So I don't know how that's going to play out. Germany's not for it. They're not very happy. So this could get interesting. Trump even threatened to sanction some of our European allies if they were not on board with this. Now, what is that? Fair weather allies based on Trump's temperature? So the question is, if they are telling the truth, if John Bolton was telling the truth that it's going to be before 2019, between now and 2019, is there some spiritual preparation that needs to be done in your life? Are there some important decisions that need to be made? My friend, if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, let's say some insider was able to meet with you privately at a restaurant and they showed you the classified documents that told you by this September, the United States of America is going to be involved in World War III. There's going to be a draft. There's going to be riots in the street. A lot of people are going to protest. There will be sit-ins in colleges, people who are against the war. And then there will be others who are for the war. There's going to be Americans fighting one another in riots. It's going to get ugly. It's going to cause the gas prices to go through the ceiling, $5, $6 a gallon. It's going to cause some foods that we have taken for granted to become rare. What food's that, Nathan? I don't know, but some of them. It's going to affect the ability of factories to make things that we're used to just walking into Walmart or ordering from Amazon and buying. It's going to affect our lives, everything. Interest rates are going to go up. People who have adjustable rate mortgages are going to feel the pinch. It's going to make it harder for people to buy houses, to buy cars, to get loans. It's going to change everything. If you knew for sure that that would happen by this September, what would you be doing today? What would your plans be tomorrow? What lifestyle changes would you make? What discussions would you have with your friends, with your family, with your spouse? What discussions would you have with your parents and your loved ones? Would it place the plans to relocate on the fast track? Would it speed up anything? You know, Proverbs says, the wise man sees the evil coming and hides himself. Would you try to hide yourself? See, I'm asking a lot of questions because we could be facing that by this fall. I'm not saying we will, but we could. And I'm not saying it on a whim either. John Bolton's the one who stated publicly. In fact, listen to this, folks. Let me play it again. Here we go.
There is a viable opposition to the rule of the Ayatollahs, and that opposition is centered in this room today. I have said for over 10 years since coming to these events that the declared policy of the United States of America should be the overthrow of the mullah's regime in Tehran. The behavior and the objectives of the regime are not going to change, and therefore the only solution is to change the regime itself. And that's why, before 2019, we here will celebrate in Tehran. Thank you very much.
Okay, did you hear that? By 2019. What does that mean? When Benjamin Netanyahu gave a presentation a few weeks ago, where he showed a presentation that Iran, he said that they have been cheating. And even though they were supposed to not be developing nuclear bombs, they have been furthering their technology to attack their neighbors, to attack Israel. So Bibi did a similar thing that we saw occur in 2003 when Colin Powell gave the argument to the UN Security Council that Iraq had been manufacturing chemical weapons. And he showed some posters that were cartoons, 3D renderings of what their poison gas factory looked like. But it was a cartoon. We're watching the same theater right now. Nikki Haley, our UN representative, is doing the same thing. And then we have Benjamin Netanyahu doing a similar thing. And all of that is to build up the coalition and convince the world that it is justifiable for us to go into Iran and attack them. Now, one of the things that the United States is angry about is that they say that Iran is getting involved in Syria, and they have been in Yemen, and they're in Lebanon. They're spreading their empire. And for that reason, Iran must be stopped. However, folks, this is what they're not saying. This is what we're not hearing. That's their part of the world. They want to have commerce with their neighbors. But the United States says no. They have their paws in their neighboring countries. They're not allowed to do that. And why is that? Because the United States believes that only we have the right to have agreements with countries in the Middle East. Only the United States can. Now, folks, that's as absurd as saying if we are talking to our neighbors, like Canada, let's say, we have a relationship with Canada. That's like someone from the other side of the world saying the United States is sticking their paws in the business of their neighbor and they shouldn't be. And does that make any sense? Now, if we end up going to war with Iran, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be a similar type war that we had against Iraq or Afghanistan, which, by the way, we haven't even won in Afghanistan because they're fighting us with guerrilla warfare tactics, which is pretty much impossible to beat. It's asymmetric. It's unconventional. They operate by different rules. Iran has already stated that if we go to war with them, that's how they're going to do it. They have been studying and watching. They know that pound for pound, they cannot match the United States. They don't have aircraft carriers, but they don't need them because it only takes a missile, one very quick missile skimming along the surface of the water to sink an aircraft carrier. Iran has been fortified with those types of missiles by Russia. And they also have anti-aircraft missiles that they have been practicing with. But when we bombed Syria, according to Russia and according to Iran, they shot down 70% of the missiles. 70%. The United States has denied that. If we go to war with Iran, it's not going to be as easy as Iraq because Iran has anti-missile batteries that they practiced with in Syria. So did Russia. Russia has been practicing to do an EMP blast against the United States. So what we're watching in Syria is a preliminary practice with all the parties that are going to be involved in the real one. When it goes live, then they'll be ready. In 2002, the Pentagon conducted a $250 million war game to simulate war between America and Iran. It was called Millennium Challenge 2002. And in that simulation, supposed to last 3 weeks, the Iranians were able to defeat the entire fleet that was in the Persian Gulf, the American Navy's fleet, on day two. They sunk 16 ships, including an aircraft carrier. And they did it with unconventional tactics. They didn't do it matching America's fifth generation high technology. They didn't do it that way. They did it the old-fashioned way. So when this thing really goes down, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out that America is not as strong as we thought. Because once an aircraft carrier is sunk, it's going to change everything. The aircraft carrier is one of the staples of America's strength. We can take an army, a flotilla, to anywhere in the world within a few days and defeat them. But we have never matched hypersonic missiles like Russia has right now. Hypersonic, folks, faster than the speed of sound. They can travel at between 7 and 10,000 miles an hour. These are their new missiles. Well, Nathan, America has hypersonic missiles too. Yeah, that's nice. But if we have an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf or the Mediterranean or the China Sea, and our enemies have missiles that cannot be stopped, then they won't be. And our warships are going to be damaged. They'll be sunk. That'll change everything. Will we ever see that happen? I hope not. But ladies and gentlemen, Russia is going to be a formidable opponent when we go to war against them. Same thing with China. China has weapons that we have not faced before. And right now, there's a news blackout on the situation in Iran. Why is that? Have you noticed you haven't heard anything about it? Zero. Why is that? What's going on? Now, earlier I mentioned that there's a great deception. We have to have our eyes open and also praying so that the Holy Spirit can keep us vigilant and wise. I mentioned all that because I believe that Donald Trump is playing a very pivotal role, that part of his role involves deception, deceiving God's people, deceiving the masses. It's deception. I do not for a second believe that he is this anointed great guy that's safe and sincere. I don't believe that for a second, folks. I don't. I have reams and reams of information that I have not shared, and I don't even know if it's possible to share it because it's too much. If I shared all the stuff that I have about Trump's nefarious escapades and business dealings from the past to the present, of the business dealings he has made with leaders in Asia, China, in India, in Russia, it would make your head spin. Because there's too much. And after a while, you'd become fatigued and say, I don't want to hear anymore. Okay. But I have this information, and every day I get more. that proves without a shadow of a doubt that Trump's role is not to be Cyrus. His role is to bring chaos. So I have also kept on the table, if he is operating under that mantle, is it also possible that he is the guy in the Bible, the villain, the nemesis to the saints of God, also known as the Antichrist? Is that possible? Now, I'm not going to be so blinded and stubborn. I can't do it. I'm not going to say, well, traditionally, based on what I learned in Bible college, because you see, folks, I've studied prophecy. I've read all those other prophecy books. I've read the opinions, the traditions of men, and the philosophies of men from those other Bible scholars. And I'm not going to be so foolish as to say, well, Trump can't be the guy because according to the book I read, he doesn't match up in certain areas. I'm not going to say that. You know why? Because some of the things and some of the expectations of the man of sin are not even in the Bible. And a lot of Christians have this idea that the Antichrist is going to be loved by the whole world, that he would be loved by non-Christians. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Think about that, folks. The Antichrist is never spoken of as someone that is loved by everyone. He's not. What we do read is he's going to cause a lot of problems. He's going to deceive a lot of people. He's going to be full of himself. He's going to be bombastic and boastful and narcissistic and always bragging about his wealth. He loves gold and silver. All of those things are in Daniel. He can't quit bragging. It says in Daniel, he boasts, full of himself. He loves the God of gold, of prosperity. He loves prosperity. You know, folks, when I consider out of all the human beings that I've ever known of, as long as I've been alive, and I want to include other countries as well, other dictators as well, Ferdinand Marcos, remember him? Or the Cuban guy, Castro. Some of the Russian leaders, some of the communist leaders we've seen come and go in other countries, some of the ruthless dictators in South America, down in Nicaragua, all those guys that have come and gone that were dictators and had a lot of power, not one of them has been as boastful and narcissistic, not even close to the level of Donald J. Trump. No one in the world in my entire life could match his narcissism. No one. And then when we throw in the lying that he does, I don't think any other leader purposely lies as much as Trump does. But the Bible tells us that he would be crafty and use deception. So if we're looking at it under the tunnel vision of a certain interpretation and there is no room for negotiation, that's why a lot of people will be deceived because they refuse to see that it's possible. You know, because Hal Lindsey wrote The Late Great Planet Earth and told us that the Antichrist is going to come from Europe, because he said that, and then Tim LaHaye ran with it, American Christians now have this idea, because they read that, that there's no way he could be from America, so it can't be him. Or in the Left Behind books, everyone loved him and believed everything he said. And not everyone loves Trump, so it can't be him. Nathan, Trump's done some good stuff. At the beginning of the program, I stated that Trump will do some crazy things for the New World Order, to advance the New World Order. He'll do 3 or 4 steps forward for the New World Order and then take 1 step back and throw a bone to his voting base. So Nathan, doesn't that prove that Trump's a good guy? Why? Why does that prove that? Hitler gave away vacations to his German citizens. He provided daycare because he said family was important. He also supplied cars. The Beetlebug. Do you know that, folks? The Beetlebug car came from Hitler. But he did some good things. Hitler did some quote-unquote things that benefited the welfare of the people. Every villain from time to time would throw money in the Salvation Army bin. They'll do that. Mafiosos will often donate locally to the charities around their neighborhood. The billionaire druggie from down south, remember him? Pablo Escobar had so much money stored at his headquarters. He ran out of room in the house. He ran out of room in the basement, in the warehouses. They started burying it in the farmland because there was so much. And then the mice and rats would start eating the bundles of money, but he didn't care because he had so much money. Well, he was a druggie, and his drug cartel was responsible for the murder of a lot of people. But he also gave and donated to the local charities. He built playgrounds and hospitals in his town. Did that make him a saint? No. Folks, every dictator will often do things that benefits the people. That doesn't nullify the evil. King Herod. Herod killed babies trying to find Jesus. Remember that? And then fast forward to the ministry of Jesus. The disciples come and they say, Jesus, look how pretty the temple is that Herod built. Isn't it pretty? Isn't this great? Was Jesus impressed with that? No. Jesus said, it's going to come tumbling down. So this thing with this bone that Trump has thrown for the abortion to his base, just watch it, folks.
Watch and wait, but do not allow one bone to lower your guard. Please, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, dictators have done this all through history. Dictators build roads. Dictators build pretty shopping malls and buildings. They provide jobs. That doesn't make them suddenly worthy of being a savior with their head on a coin. So, as I was stating, I have proposed over the last few months, and I'm not saying this is for sure. It's not set in stone. And I've said this a lot of times, folks, and I believe it. And I'll say it again. As end-time Christians, as remnant Christians who are not deceived, we must, when we look at the possibilities, the players of the end times, it's okay to have several on the table. And that's why I think it's wise. In my opinion, I'm going to do this. If you don't want to, don't. But I don't want to be deceived. I'm going to have Donald Trump on the table as a candidate for being the villain of the end times. I'm going to. And I'm not doing it to make anyone mad or upset anybody. I'm doing it because I want to be vigilant. So please don't write me and say, nuh-uh, there's no way, Nathan. No matter what you say in an email, trying to school me and tell me that there's no way, it's impossible because it's Prince Charles. People insisted it was Prince Charles. He's the Antichrist. It's not him. It's just not. And then it turned into William, his son. But is William narcissistic and a bragger? Is he full of himself like Trump is? You see, folks, we need to look at the whole personality profile. Look at Daniel 7 and 8. This guy cannot help bragging. He cannot stop boasting. He just has to do it. The Bible tells us. Does William do that? No. Does Charles do that? Prince Charles? No. I've seen several other leaders coming from Europe. The leader of Spain, it's him. Well, is he full of himself? No. It has to be a Muslim, Nathan. Can't be Trump because he's going to be a Muslim. Or, I've heard this one too, it can't be Trump because he has to be an Assyrian. Have you heard those folks? Where does that come from? It comes from the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 talks about end time Babylon and how end time Babylon is the daughter of Babylon. So it's a new layer coming from the old Babylon. It's a daughter of it, a new version of Babylon that's corrupt, that's full of herself. And then we have a reference to end time Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, and it's the same entity. It's an end time kingdom that will be around at the end of time. And in Jeremiah 50 and 51, we can look at the profile, and when we read it and go down the list, it sounds like the United States of America, in my opinion. It does. It says that you had the heritage of the Lord and you threw it away. Your mother who birthed you will be embarrassed. That's England, Britain. And we see that end time Babylon will be an empire, a kingdom that will make life miserable for God's people in the end times. It says it. It says that Babylon will be a threshing floor for God's people. And then the harvest will come, meaning the rapture, quote unquote, at the end. But while we're still here, we will be threshed by Babylon. Look it up, folks. Jeremiah 51. So as it describes symbolically, see, it's a mystery. Mystery Babylon. Meaning God wants us to keep seeking, to keep us vigilant. So he calls it Mystery Babylon. And in the description of Mystery Babylon, we can read about the leader of Mystery Babylon. God calls him Nebuchadnezzar. In Jeremiah 50, it's in there. Nebuchadnezzar. Right before that, it also says the Assyrian was making life terrible for God's people at the end of time. So when we read the word Assyrian and Nebuchadnezzar, that's symbolic. It's a metaphor of the leader of Mystery Babylon in the end of time. So if Mystery Babylon at the end of time is America, and then we have a reference to Nebuchadnezzar being the leader, then that means, folks, it's right there. It means that whoever the leader is of Mystery Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar, a.k.a. the little horn, the Antichrist. Do you see it, folks? So whoever the president of the United States is, the very end of time, they're going to be playing a role in Bible prophecy, and I submit this to you. They're the little horn. The little horn comes from Mystery Babylon. It's in there. We read in Daniel 11, it makes reference to the leader, mentions three battles, Daniel 11, and one of them mentions fighting the south, the king of the south, and then it says bad news comes from the east, and he doesn't like it, and then it talks about him fighting the king of the north. So it mentions three directions on the compass, which tells us, by elimination, that he is from the west. And it's for these reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that I am watching with great concern. Because we're watching something that's never happened in the history of humanity, where God wraps up the history of man. And when he wraps up the history of man, chaos will be a part of the narrative. Chaos, confusion, and deception. There's a lot of stuff going on, folks. We need to stay on top of it. And what is the United States of America doing right now with our allies? What are we doing with Saudi Arabia? Last year, Trump rewarded them with the equipment. He offered to sell them the equipment for a war, tanks and planes and missiles. This year, we're selling them more. Over 6,500 missiles we're selling to Saudi Arabia. Why? It's because a war's coming, folks. A war. As I said earlier, there's a lot of fog. There's a lot of confusion. You know, the Mueller investigation continues. It's been 1 year. If you listen to Fox News, Mueller is the devil. He's a sorcerer. He's a liar. He's mean. He's just trying to create problems that don't exist. He's on a witch hunt. You might as well call D.C. Salem because Trump's a supposed witch. See, that's according to Fox News. Because Fox News has a special relationship with Trump. Sean Hannity is Trump's buddy and they talk every day on the phone. And Hannity will discuss the stories and Trump discusses things that are going on. The access that Hannity has to Trump gives me pause. It should not be like that. But there's an investigation against Trump, about Trump. And if some of you also have been trying to follow that, but you know, you miss it for 1 or 2 days and then you get behind. And then before you know it, you're just fatigued. You don't want to hear about it. And then finally, maybe you find yourself thinking, I just wish it was done. I just want to move forward. Let's just leave them alone and move forward. Why? Well, here's why, folks. Because the United States of America is not a dictatorship. We don't operate by autocrats. We don't. So Mueller is part of the Justice Department, and the Justice Department tries to make sure that ethics are followed. Although ethics are not being followed, and there are huge gaps in proper ethical morality that are taking place right now. Trump never signed off on his businesses. He never signed them away. He never put them into the hands of his sons like he said he would. Trump is conducting business for his empire from the White House. And he's making deals for new towers and new office buildings all around the world right now. Did you know that, folks? He's dealing with several countries at the moment, trying to raise funds for new towers. During the campaign, he was doing the same thing. He visited with Russian oligarchs. They came over here and visited with him. According to Fox News and according to him, he said it's a witch hunt. There's nothing there. But if there was nothing there, why does Mueller already have several indictments if there's nothing there? Why have several people already been identified as guilty of perjury, doing things they weren't supposed to? Paul Manafort's going to jail. If there was nothing there, why are people going to jail? If there was nothing there, why have several been indicted? If there was nothing there, why has Mueller indicted 13 Russian oligarchs as well as companies and subpoenaed them? If there was nothing there. There is something there, folks. There is a lot there. If Trump is not the Antichrist and he gets voted out of office either in 2020 or finally, if he does get reelected and we live long enough and the Lord tarries, history is going to reveal all this stuff. It's going to come to the surface. It will. Because God's going to make sure that it does. Now, I know that I'm sharing a lot of heavy-duty stuff. I know that I am. But I need to. I need to, folks. Because we're watching such a huge campaign. The deception is so wide, which, by the way, proves and gives us more evidence that it is not just a natural thing going on. It is a spiritual deception taking place. Because the Bible says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Verse 2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Speaking lies with hypocrisy. What does that mean? It means in the last days, people will tell lies to each other and act hypocritical. It means that they will have a double standard. It means they will grasp onto falsehoods and trust in deception. My friend, we have to aim higher than that. I don't want to see God's people mind raped. I don't like to see that. I don't want to see it. I don't like to see God's people deceived. I don't like it when people who are representing God or the Bible or Christ, when they claim to represent him and then they vomit deception over everybody. I don't like it, folks. But that's what's taking place. It's a spiritual deception as well as a mind rape. That's what I call it. I mentioned Cambridge Analytica earlier. I've been talking about it over the past few months. I've written a few articles on it. That thing is so huge, ladies and gentlemen. The way they were able to do it, the players that were involved, it was clever, evil genius. Dr. Evil was recruited to help pull this thing off, and they did it. What are you talking about, Nathan? I'm talking about how Cambridge Analytica used social media to publish a lot of fake news stories. And folks, did you know this? They published many fake news stories and threw them out there into the internet. And then they fed the stream of those fake news stories with bots, Autobots, and caused those stories to become priorities and move them to the top of the line in Google and in social media, on Facebook, in Twitter, Instagram. They used social media to make people believe stories that were not true. And the president of Cambridge Analytica, Alexander Nix, admitted to this under hidden camera. He said they come up with stories that aren't real and they throw them out there, and it's opposition warfare against the opponents, the political opponents. That's what they did. And we saw that happen during the election. I remember seeing some stories that the mudslinging, there were mudslinging stories that were reported against Rubio and Cruz, some of the other opponents, Jeb Bush. And I'm not defending those other guys because they're also globalists, New World Order. They're PNAC warmongers themselves. But the method that was used by Trump and Trump's team to manipulate the masses is just incredible, the way they did it. Because when they stole the profiles on Facebook of over 80 million Americans, 80 million, people didn't know what hit them, because Cambridge Analytica was able to know the profile on most Americans on Facebook. And based on the data that they gathered, there's a good chance they have it on you, my friend. They know that if they were to place a certain image in front of someone, maybe a picture of Hillary or of immigrants climbing over a wall or images that struck an emotional response from people, they knew based on how you had behaved already in Facebook. Whenever you click the like button on something, or when someone says something and you click like, the computer program of Cambridge Analytica took all of those likes that people did on Facebook, and they were able to extract between 4,000 and 5,000 data points on every person. 4,000 to 5,000. The data points are things like what you like to eat, what you believe, what your scruples are. Are you a Christian? Are you liberal? What gets you mad? What makes you happy? What animals do you like? Do you celebrate holidays? All that stuff they gathered. So they knew if you hated Hillary, if you disliked the Democrats, or if you believed in guns, or you didn't like Obama, they knew that if they placed a meme in your feed, sponsored ad, by the way, or by a bot, by a fake Facebook person, had it on their wall, because they're not even a real person, they were bots. And they knew that if they had an image, the way that the image was done and the words that were used in the image, they knew that it would get an emotional response from you, which would also influence you to forward that and share it with other people. So what ended up happening was, because they knew all these data points, tens of thousands of images they custom made. Folks, think about that. That would take an army of graphic designers and workers. Who are those people? Who did it? Where do they live? Where do they work? Where's their boiler room located? Is it in the United States somewhere? Is it across the border? Is it in Mexico? Is it in Russia? You see, folks, they took this information, and then their army of graphic designers made pictures and memes and then submitted them. And then the bots took over and flooded Facebook or forums or Twitter or whatever it was and where it needed to be placed. And they purposely pinpointed certain images to just go to a certain select group of people. They were all targeted, custom targeted. So by the time the election came around, folks hated Hillary. They believed she had a brain tumor. She was the walking dead. She was having to be carried and dragged around everywhere. She was an alcoholic. And of course, a lot of them are true, but they made it seem like Hillary's not even healthy enough to make it through the election, so we can't have her. She's dying. Remember that one, folks? You saw it. A lot of you saw it. Well, it turned out she wasn't dying. She was dehydrated, and during the campaign, she had the flu for a few days. And some of the video of her tripping was when she had the flu. That's all it was. And then Donald Trump took advantage of that because his handlers told him, now we're concentrating on Hillary's health. Talk about that at your rallies. And he did. Hillary can't even get out of bed. Hillary is slow. Hillary's weak. We don't need that. Remember he said that stuff? He used all of that information. So whatever they came up with, they informed Trump that that's what he had to talk about. And so he did. They actually conducted audience studies and polling to get reactions from people, from Americans, on what really agitated them, what kind of words agitated them, or what words excited them. That's where they came up with build the wall, or lock her up, put her in jail, or drain the swamp. That was all Cambridge Analytica that came up with those terms, because they knew it caused a reaction.
A few weeks ago, I placed a video, I did a YouTube, that showed Donald Trump admitting that Drain the Swamp didn't come from him. It wasn't part of his plan. He was told to say it. Then I'm not just making this stuff up, folks.
Funny how that term caught on, isn't it? I tell everyone, I hated it. Somebody said, Drain the Swamp. I said, oh, that's so hokey. That is so terrible. I said, all right, I'll try it. So like a month ago, I said, Drain the Swamp. Place went crazy. I said, whoa, watch this. Then I said it again. Then I started saying it like I meant it, right? And then I said it, I started loving it. And the place loved it. It's Drain the Swamp. I mean, it's true. It's true.
Now you hear Trump saying, they told me to do it. I thought it was dumb. But he doesn't tell us who told him. He didn't tell us where that came from. He didn't tell us where the suggestion originated. If he would have said, I'm involved in a psychological manipulation psyop where we're going to mind rape the American public and manipulate you and convince you of things that aren't true and also get you real fired up about things that will never happen, I was told to say drain the swamp. And I think it's a dumb thing. I don't even really know what it means. I don't plan to do it, but I was told to say it. So here goes. And then if he said it, how much of the crowd would be clapping? None. Unless they were stupid. So that took place. And after it was exposed by Christopher Wiley, the data analyst who parted ways with Cambridge Analytica and became a whistleblower and let it out of the bag, he said a lot of things and he got interviewed a few times. There's a few videos made and he disclosed everything. And I have been looking at that. I've been reading it. And more information has come forth now about how they operated. And it looks like the profiles that they obtained, that Cambridge Analytica obtained from Facebook, it appears that those profiles have been exported to computer experts and data analysts in Russia. And Russians then took that information and also helped out with the programming that was done on America. It's been exposed, folks. I'm not making this up. This is all public information now. There are Russian companies and Russian individuals from Russia. Russia sponsored web designers to make fake websites, to make them look like news websites here in America, but they were all produced in Russia. And they would populate those websites with content that was not true. And they published these stories. And then those same stories that were fake were then shared on Facebook and placed on the alternative media's feed. And then some people that you listen to, some of the alternative people out there that you might like on their websites, if they have websites or forums or blogs, they were repeating some of the fake information. That's what's come forward. Some of the reports that were shared by Christians and your friends and possibly you on Facebook was done by Russians from boiler rooms in Russia, and they were fake. By the way, there are thousands of them. There's Facebook friends that you have that aren't even real people, or they're Russian operatives, or they're operatives from Cambridge Analytica or the Pentagon. They're a part of the Big Brother system. They're not real. But some of them, for an example, scheduled, when I say some of them, I'm talking about the Russian fake web designers. They wanted Trump to win, first of all. Russia wanted Trump to win. I can pause for a moment and ask the question, why? Why did Putin want Trump to win? What was there to gain by Trump winning? See, that needs to be asked. What arrangements were there pre-planned? Now, before Trump ran, we had sanctions against Russia because of Ukraine. Before the election, it has now come out also that Trump met with some Russian oligarchs and some Russian politicians discussing how to get rid of the sanctions against Russia in exchange for favors for Trump's business, for his towers that he wanted to build in Moscow and St. Petersburg. That has come forth. Now, of course, Trump's denying it now, but it's out. It's in the open. The evangelicals will argue and say, nuh-uh, I was going to vote on him no matter what. Russia didn't make me. They didn't twist my arm and make me do it. See, that's the argument. But Trump won just by a margin. And the people who decided to show up in his favor were turned through some of these techniques. Like Hillary is about to die. She has a brain tumor. If some of the people who voted on Trump did not see the claim that Hillary was about to die, would they have still voted for Trump? Would they? That's a good question, huh, folks? And I have to say, there's no way that every one of them still would have. Every single one, 100%. There's no way. Some people were influenced by that. So that's an example of how these weapons, these new weapons were used. Nathan, why are you calling them a weapon? Because social media has been weaponized to manipulate people. It has. There's one more thing I want to share, and then I'm going to close because this has been pretty long. How many of you remember when Trump signed the omnibus bill? Remember that? $1.3 trillion. And included in that bill was abortion. And a lot of us scratched our head and said, what? Why did he sign that? He funded $500 million, half a billion dollars for abortion. What's up? Do you remember that, folks? But then within hours of him signing it, I noticed something occurred on the internet. I saw a post placed on, it wasn't even in my thread talking about it. And then I ended up finding it in other threads. I found it on forums. I found it on websites, blogs, YouTubes were about it, Twitter. It went everywhere. And this is what it was. Somebody from a blog called The Conservative Treehouse. Have you heard of that, folks? There was one post put in there by a person named Wheatie2. And that's Wheatie, like Wheat, Wheatieto, Wheatie2. There was one obscure little posting placed in the Conservative Treehouse blog by a person named Wheatie2. And Wheatie2 said, a lot of people are upset about Trump's omnibus, but really it's not a budget. This is not a budget like regular budgets. This is just a suggestion. So the money that he signed is not earmarked exactly. Trump doesn't have to give it up to those people. Even though he signed it, he can decide who gets it and who doesn't. He can pick and choose and take chunks of it and not assign it and appropriate it. See, this person, Wheatie2, said this. And when I read it, I was thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What are you talking about? He can earmark and decide. No, he can't. You don't get to pick and choose. That's not how it works. But then I stated it and I mentioned it on Facebook and I started getting emails and people were sending me that explanation from Wheatie2. No, it's not a real omnibus. It's not a budget, Nathan. It's okay. But it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that this posting is an example of how they work, how Cambridge Analytica works. This time around, it might not have been Cambridge that did it, though. It might have been, but it might have not. But it was part of the digital warfare team of Donald Trump. I do believe that. I do believe if it wasn't Cambridge, then it was the same data team, because Cambridge Analytica worked with some computer analysts that Trump had hired to be a part of his campaign. He hired the same people again for the 2020 re-election campaign already. Now, did you know that, folks? Trump has his 2020 campaign going now. Why? Why does he have it 3 years early? What's the purpose of that? And I have a very strong suspicion that when Trump signed $500 million for abortion, that the data warfare team, the propaganda team, went into action and grabbed that one explanation from Wheatie2. They have the tools to, within minutes, have that same post throughout the internet. Because there is no other explanation for how that was spread everywhere all of a sudden. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you probably noticed that and you scratched your head and said, who is this Wheatie2? What? That's dumb. But you probably noticed it was everywhere as well, right? It was on my feed and Facebook. And I told the person who posted it, I said, where'd you get this? They said, oh no, I found it. Well, where'd you find it? It was on the internet. If you Google Wheatie2 omnibus bill, by the way, do that. If you have a second, folks, if you have a pen and paper, here's how you spell it. Wheat. So for wheat, Ietoo. Type that into Google and then next to it, type Trump omnibus bill. Watch what comes up. You will get the same explanation and it's everywhere. It was reproduced thousands and thousands of times. I received it in a text. I was trying to tell someone he went against his promise and they said, nuh-uh, look, Nathan. And they sent me the same thing from Wheatie2. How did all the alternative media get saturated, blanketed by Wheatie2? How did that happen, folks? When it was not even true. By the way, it's not true. That is not true. Congress passed an act when Nixon was in power, the appropriations bill. It's an appropriations act. It was done in 74. That when an omnibus bill is passed, it gets funded. And by the way, an omnibus bill, what that means is you have several other bills thrown together in one bundle, and then he signs for all of them. That's what it means. Now, there is an opportunity that the president has to try to ask Congress not to appropriate some of the money, but he has to do it in written form, and he has to send it to Congress, and Congress has to vote on it. But that's still a lot of red tape, because Congress can also ignore it. If Trump wrote out a request and sent it to Congress and said, okay, this part, the appropriations don't fund it, they could still just let it sit and not vote on it, and it'll go away. But that's the closest we have to maybe the appropriations monies can be stopped from going where they're supposed to be going, where they're earmarked. That's the only way that it is possible. But according to Wheatie2, he or she said, no, the president can just say that they don't want them given it, and they won't. So he can keep any of the budget from going to where it's supposed to go. That was a lie. And you know, the amazing thing, here's something else, folks.
If you were guilty of this, chalk it up to a learning experience. For all the people out there that saw what I'm describing from Wheaties 2, if you used that and used it as a defense to argue with someone else without fact-checking it, then you failed. You failed. Because it is our job as Christians to want to know the truth and to make sure that we confirm it's true. The Bible even says that. That's one of the basics, 101 of the Bible. You don't accuse without two witnesses. You have to have witnesses. When you read a report like this, folks, we need to confirm to see if it's true. Because if we don't, we're part of the problem. And I don't want to be a part of the problem. Do you? I don't, my friend. Now, I know I brought a lot of information. I know it was a lot. I want to just invite you, if you can, I know this was long and you have your life to live, but if you can, listen to this program several times to catch all this information. You know, I've had a few folks write me and they say, Nathan, I take issue with you when you say I swallowed the Trump Kool-Aid because you're saying that I am a failure or I fell under the spell. I failed. I like joined a cult or something. And that's not true. So don't tell me I swallowed the Kool-Aid. Well, my friend and everyone listening, I love every one of you guys. As God's watchman, I don't want to see you get deceived. So whatever the term is to describe swallowing a lie and not checking it and not spitting it out, whatever the term is, folks, we can't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not here to purposely anger anybody. If you've been a regular listener, I've been at this for 10 years. 10 years. And 2 years ago, I got weird. For the first 8 years, we were all together. We were a big family. Folks would listen to me and say, Nathan, thank you for your research. Thank you for your continual research. Thank you for warning me. Thank you for informing me. Now, it turned into, Nathan, why do you have to be so mean and hateful against Trump? Why do you have to doubt everything he says? Why are you so negative? Why, Nathan? Well, if vigilance is being negative, then I guess I'm guilty. I'm just being vigilant, folks. I just want the truth, just like you should. We all should. I started this program by talking about how important it is to not be deceived. And I'll close with the same thing. It's important not to be deceived, my friends. Because if we get deceived, then what do we have to go by? How can we see? And if we are end-time Christians, if you are a child of God, if you have a Bible, if you love Jesus, if he's in your heart, our job is to seek truth. And if truth means that, oh no, the guy who I was told is the greatest thing might not be the greatest thing, then we need to accept it. And then we need to do something about it. We need to not continue believing the lie. Will we be at war by this fall? I hope not, folks. I really do. I hope not. Now, they could kick the can a little further down the road, yes, but it's not looking good. And in the next few weeks, we're going to have a better idea of what direction we're going. I want to challenge everybody to make sure that you're not on a spiritual vacation. Make sure you haven't entirely forgot your first love. I know a lot of people, a lot of you listening, everyone has a story. Some of you are going through some heavy-duty struggles. Some of you are going through some financial struggles, relational struggles. Some of you have job situations, marriage situations, health. Everyone has a story because I've been living my story. And I know what health challenges are all about. I know what financial challenges are all about. Everyone has a story, but while we're in the midst of our journey, we need to make sure we are with God. So I have a question to ask. Are you where you need to be with God, with the Lord? Are you where you want to be with the Lord? Has your relationship with God seen better days? Did it used to be better? Were there days where you could hear his voice a lot better than now? Or the heavens brass when you pray? Is there an oppression that won't leave? Does the darkness seem a little thicker than it used to? Does despair and oppression try to attack you? I have a feeling that there's a good number of you that could say yes to some of these questions. And if that's where you are, my friend, the bottom line is for us to get back to the basics with Jesus, to return to our first love. So I want to encourage that. Return to your first love. Repent. Clean house. Clean out the closets. Get rid of the things that aren't supposed to be there. Now, in my next program, I'm going to be sharing a sermon. And the purpose of it is to talk about these very things. Getting back to our first love. I'm going to talk about how we can repent. Some people are struggling with their repentance. They're not happy with their relationship. Some people feel like the strongholds are too strong. We're going to talk about all that, about how to get strong with God, how to get the upper hand, how to return, how to rediscover him, how to find him. We're going to talk about that, so please be looking forward to that.
If you don't subscribe to my messages, you can go to watchmanscry.com and there's a link to subscribe to messages, or you can just send an email to me. Go to the website and just click the contact link and ask to be put up in my notifications. Also, my friends, if you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate and we depend on. We do need your support, ladies and gentlemen. So please pray about asking God how much you can help us out with. Pray about asking God about becoming a partner with us. Also, say a prayer for me. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. All right, folks, please share this with your friends and your family. Share it with your loved ones. Listen to it a few times. And also, my friends, stay vigilant, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.